I search the world.
Better. Somebody lift up a shout of praise tonight. Come on.
So blessed Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing my heaven people. Oh my soul. Worship Your holy name.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. If you would, go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 7 for a sermon titled, The Product of Forgiveness. I say this with as much love as I possibly can. Every one of us in here tonight is a debtor before a holy and righteous God. None is exempt. The dangerous difference is that some people know this and embrace this, and some people refuse to see and embrace our sinfulness before His holiness. And that's dangerous. When we see other people sin clearly, but fail to see our own need for grace, judgment comes easy and can begin to be more prevalent in our lives. Judgment of others and their sinfulness. More so, that judgment can turn into us turning cold towards Jesus and our relationship with Him. Both are very dangerous. The truth tonight is that Jesus forgives those who come to Him in faith, regardless of their sinfulness. And Jesus' forgiveness produces an undeniable love within us for Him. And that's what we're going to see tonight. Our first truth is Simon can see her sin, but not his own need for grace. Let's read verses 36 through 39. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And Jesus entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisee Simon, who had invited him, saw this, Simon said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." So a Pharisee named Simon invites Jesus to come to his house to have dinner, to eat. A woman known in the city as a sinner enters in and carrying this alabaster vial of perfume. She stands at Jesus' feet, she weeps, and she basically washes his feet with the very tears that flow from her brokenness over her sinfulness on his feet and wipe it with the hair of her head and anoints him with perfume. Simon, the religious Pharisee, watches this and begins judging both the woman and Jesus for what he's seeing. He thinks in his brain. Notice that. That's key to this. He is only thinking within his own brain. If this Jesus were a prophet, he would know what sort of woman this is and could not possibly allow this to happen. Simon sees something true. He does see something. He sees that this woman is a sinner. That's a fact. It's true. She is a sinner. But his problem is, like my problem and maybe your problem too, is that he don't see the whole truth. He only sees part of the truth. But yet, he makes a whole judgment. Simon is not wrong that the woman has sinned. His mistake is believing that recognizing her sin somehow makes him spiritually superior to her in her sinfulness. Notice that Simon is just thinking, if Jesus really knew what kind of woman this was, but Jesus does know what kind of woman this is. Jesus is well aware. Nothing is hidden from him. In fact, Jesus knows something Simon does not realize. Jesus knows the woman's past, and Jesus knows the very thoughts that are silently going through Simon's head at this time. Simon is basically questioning Jesus' ability to discern people, while Jesus is simultaneously, silently discerning the truth of Simon's heart. Self-righteousness makes us quick to notice another person's sin and slow to admit our own need for God's mercy. I've made bad judgments my entire life, and I'm sure that I've got more in my future. One night we had a gentleman enter into the church. This was early on in my Blunt Springs time. And he said, he came up and he said, "I want to play the guitar for a church." And I just looked at him. I was like, "Man, I don't know. You don't really look like a guitar player. We don't just let anybody get up there. And he said, just let me try it. Well, Jeffrey agreed. And he got up here. And I'm telling you, he ripped the guitar. I'm talking about, I just stood there. I got my phone out and started taking a video of it. But just looking at him, I didn't think that he knew what the E string and the B string or any of that was, but he got up here and played awesome. It was unbelievable. Bad judgment. I was just making a judgment on the exterior. We do that all the time. As humans, it's a bad thing. We can easily, in the realm of sin, compare ourselves to people whose sin seems worse than ours. Well, I'm not as bad as Ricky. I'm not as bad as Chris. Man, look at that guy, you know? We do that as Christians. I'm not real sure why we do that. Maybe it's a misunderstanding. Simon was doing that. We think, at least I haven't done what they did. Or at least people don't know that I did what he did. I'm certainly better than John. But at the end of the day, comparison never has and never will make us righteous before God. Question for us tonight, does remembering how much grace you need make you more compassionate towards people who are struggling with sin or less compassionate? The next time someone's sin frustrates or disgusts you, do not excuse their sin or encourage them to go into it, but remember that you too stand before God by grace alone. Our second truth, let's get to the parable. Jesus shows Simon what forgiveness produces. We're going to read verses 40 through 47. And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning towards the woman, Jesus said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You, Simon, did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." Generally speaking, the bigger the gift, the greater the appreciation. If I took you out to dinner and I bought your meal, likely you would appreciate it. You would say, "Thank you, I really appreciate the dinner for tonight." However, if I went to your house tonight and said, "You know what? What do you still owe on your house? What's your mortgage? I'm going to write you a check tonight. You can take it to the bank tomorrow and I'm going to pay off your house." Which one of those would you likely have more appreciation for? If you don't owe anything on your house, maybe the dinner. But likely you're going to be very thankful that I paid your house off for you, right? Because the gift is so great. Jesus responds to Simon's unspoken thoughts. "Simon, I have something to say to you." You think he was surprised when he was only thinking this and Jesus is reading his mind? This guy that he just said, he's probably not even a prophet because he couldn't discern the sinner. Jesus tells him about two debtors. One owes him 500 denarii. Roughly, that's 500 days' wages. That's a lot of work. The other owes 50 denarii, which would be 50 days' wages. Big difference, drastic difference. But there's something equally important about both men, both debtors. What's important that we can't miss is that neither one of them could repay. The man who owed 500 couldn't pay it. The guy who owed 50, even though it was less, he still couldn't pay it. Verse 42 says, when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. That is the key. One debt was larger, one debt was smaller, but neither debtor had the ability to erase his own debt. They had no power to do that. Jesus asked Simon, which one will love the money lender more? Simon reluctantly answers. If you notice that, he says, I suppose. Reluctance. He doesn't even want to answer it. I think he's starting to see that he is the illustration here. He says, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Jesus says, yeah, you've judged correctly. Bad judgment earlier, but you're coming around. You got this one right. Then he turns towards the woman while continuing to speak to Simon. Jesus says that Simon gave no water for his feet. Traditionally, when you invited somebody to your house, you would either have your servants to wash their feet, or at minimum, you would provide water so that they could have washed their feet before they had dinner. Simon does neither. But what did the lady do? What did this sinful woman do? She cleanses his feet with the tears of her brokenness. Big difference. Simon gave him no kiss. Also, traditionally, when you came into a person's house, you would be greeted with a kiss. Simon doesn't greet Jesus with a kiss. This sinful, horrible woman does not cease to kiss the very feet of Jesus. Simon did not anoint his head to oil. Traditionally, it would have been a very inexpensive olive oil. You would just anoint their head. You could find it in Psalms. He didn't do that for Jesus. And this lady doesn't use a cheap olive oil. She uses a very expensive alabaster perfume to anoint Jesus. Big difference between the two. Jesus has now revealed what Simon could not see. Simon saw a sinful woman. Jesus saw a forgiven woman responding in love. Two different perspectives on the same person. Verse 47, this is a little clarification. Verse 47 says, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. Jesus is not saying that her love earned her salvation. I need you to hear that, and I need you to see that. She didn't earn her forgiveness because she loved Jesus. Okay, he's going to clarify this in just a second, but I want to make sure that nobody got that. The parable establishes the order. She had a debt. She was unable to pay. Jesus forgave her, and the response of the forgiveness was a love for him, an undeniable love for him and what she did. Her love was not the price of forgiveness. Her love was the product of her forgiveness. She loved Jesus much because she had been forgiven much. And that is why Jesus concludes, he who is forgiven little loves little. When we understand the greatness of the forgiveness we have received, our love for Jesus should be the natural response that flows from a believer. When you've been given that forgiveness that he gave us on the cross, love is the response. It should continue to be the response that we have towards Jesus. When we focus on the faults of others, we can fail to see our own need for grace. And when we forget how much we've been forgiven, our love and our gratitude towards Jesus can begin to grow cold. And that's something I don't want to happen in my life, and I don't want to happen in your life. What does your response to Jesus say about how valuable his forgiveness is to you? We would all do well to remember that we're sinners who owed a debt that we could not pay. The clearer we see grace, the more reason we have to love the one who gave it. This week, remember specifically what Christ has forgiven you of, and intentionally thank Him for His grace. If it's been a little while since you've prayed and thanked Jesus, when you remembered what He forgave you of, maybe this week, maybe tonight will be a good time to renew that thankfulness for what the great price that He paid so that we could be forgiven. And allow that remembered grace to affect you, affect how you worship Him in here, out of here, affect how you obey Him, affect how you treat fellow sinners. Our third truth is Jesus gives the forgiven sinner peace. Starting in verse 48, then Jesus said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." Ooh, that sounds pretty good. Those who were reclining at the table with Him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And He said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." There's a tremendous difference between hoping a debt has been cleared and hearing the person who holds the debt tell you, "Your debt is cleared. It has been paid." Tetelestai, as we talked about earlier. Jesus turns to the woman and publicly declares for all to hear, "Your sins have been forgiven." The people reclining at the table didn't like it. They didn't like that what they had heard. It was music to our ears and terror to the ears of those others at the table. Who is this man who says that he can forgive sins? Well, that's a great question that would have led them to the place that they needed to be. Who is this man that forgives sin? Well, this is the Christ, the Son of God. This is God in the flesh who can forgive sins. And then they could have responded appropriately, but I don't know that their question was asked in such a way that they were seeking to really know. Simon wondered whether Jesus was even a prophet, but Jesus is demonstrating that He is far more than a prophet. He knows Simon's thoughts. He knows this woman's sins, and He possesses the authority to forgive sins. Then Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Notice what Jesus identifies as the means of her salvation. What is it? We just talked about it. We doubled down and were sure that it was not works. What does He say led to her salvation? Faith. It was her faith in the person of Jesus Christ that saved her that day and allowed her to have forgiveness of sins. Not the perfume, not the tears, not the kisses, not the works, not even the greatness of her love. Your faith has saved you. Her actions demonstrated the reality of what had happened in her heart. They were the product. Luke 5, 20 through 24, we see that Jesus forgave the paralytic sins. And what was the response? The religious leaders ask essentially the same question: who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, Jesus' authority to forgive sins points us directly to who He is, God in the flesh. It's indicative of who He is. The woman entered Simon's house carrying a reputation. Many of us have a reputation. Everybody knew what she had been. But she leaves the house that day hearing three realities from Jesus, which is the only one that matters. And these were the three realities that she took out of the house that day: forgiven, saved, and filled with peace that only God can give her. That was her reality when she left. The opinions of everybody sitting around the table of her could not undo what Christ had declared to her. Their opinions didn't matter. Believers, if you belong to Christ, remember what He has forgiven. We need to confess our present sin. We need to thank Him for His grace and not continue to carry the guilt for a debt that's already been paid. Let forgiveness produce renewed love for Christ, compassion towards sinners, and peace that only God can give us. If you're a non-believer tonight, do not make Simon's mistake by comparing your debt with somebody else's. I think some people sometimes will look and say, well, I don't need to do the whole Jesus thing. I'm living better than all the people that say that they're Christians. I don't do all those things. I mean, I'm okay. You missed it. One sin disqualified you. One disobedience. And the main thing is, you're still living in the disobedience because you're not surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord. Tonight is the night of salvation. You can surrender, place your faith in Christ, and receive the same forgiveness that this sinful woman did. Amen. That's still available tonight, and I would encourage you to do that. Jeffrey, you can come on up. So the product of forgiveness is love. When we're forgiven, that forgiveness within us should produce a love within us that goes out of us towards Jesus and towards others. Every person in the room is a debtor. Some debts may look larger than others from a human perspective, but none of us can erase our own sin. None of us. There's nothing we can do. There's not enough good works. Jesus Christ alone can forgive the debt that we can never repay. And Luke tells us what his forgiveness produces. It produces love and it gives us peace. This sinful woman walked into Simon's house known by her sin. She walked out forgiven, saved, and at peace, not because her tears could pay her debt, not because her perfume could pay her debt, not because her love paid her debt. She walked out forgiven because Jesus is merciful, Jesus has authority to forgive sin, and she came to Jesus in faith, the same way that we've got to come to Him too.